Well, what is going on, everybody? Welcome. Welcome, everybody, into the first day of the rest of our lives here at the Overreaction Sports Network. I don't know. I didn't practice.
You don't know what to say.
I didn't practice. You're fired.
I did not. Yes. Yes. I did not practice an intro. It literally hit me about 4 seconds before, like,
roll with it, Joe. Roll with it, baby.
Welcome, everybody, into the Overreaction Sports Show. We'll just call it that for now. My name is Joe Miller. We have no sponsors. We have no network, really. Like, no man. Like, we are now the men. So the three of us are the men. Like, we're responsible for our own destinies. But my name is Joe Miller. So good to have you. Sitting alongside me, Jerry Ostrowski, John Fina, former Buffalo Bills players. How are you guys doing tonight?
I'm doing awesome, Joe. John, yeah. It's great to see you guys once again. It's amazing how fate brings people together.
Well, yeah, this is the first time I've been waived. This is multiple times for you gentlemen.
This is my fourth time.
I've never been third for me. Yeah, we're doing great. You know, Jerry and I exchanging cooking pictures on a Sunday. It's back to normal. It's back to normal. We're good, man. We're good.
Awesome. Well, it's good to see your guys' smiling faces. It's good to have everybody that's piling into the chat. Alfredo Laurent, Karen Idzik is in the chat. McNizzle, don't know who that is. Mark Johnson. What's up, my guys? Good to see you. Of course, we've got some family in the room. Mimi Fina's in the room. But Richard Rush, the inevitable Richard Rush. And then our former co-roster guy at Rumblings, Ron, is in here. Hammer 3705. It's good to have all of you guys. We're going to spend a little bit of time in this episode talking about kind of what's next, what we're going to do here for at least the foreseeable future. And then we're going to talk quite a bit of Stephon Diggs, specifically from the context that nobody else can bring you, which is from players, right? Guys that have been in the huddle with other fellows that kind of share characteristics of the situation and kind of what's going on or what was going on. And then obviously what we've seen from here. But before we do that, should we kind of update everybody on kind of what's happening or what's going to happen for the three of us?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not? I mean, we got a lot of questions in the chat. Where are you going to be? What's happening? So let's elucidate on that. So we are now going to be flying under the flag of the Overreaction Sports Network. We are still coming up with ideas what the shows are going to look like. Joe and Jerry, Joe and John, Jerry and John, the three of us. We got some big plans. We're ironing out the details, but more than anything, for all of our listeners, we're just glad to have you. We hope you find us. Pass the word along. We're going to continue to bring you great content about your beloved Buffalo Bills and insights from Jerry and I that, you know, you're just not going to get. Time spent on a topic where ESPN or Fox Sports can't dive in the way we do with the experience that we have. And Joe, of course, running the show, giving his opinion from the 300 level or wherever the hell he sits.
It is the 300 level.
And just stoking us along, man. It's going to be some good stuff.
Yeah. No, exactly. I think we're pretty excited. I mean, obviously, John and I have known each other for a long, long time. I had the opportunity in the last couple of years to become friends with Joe. Joe and I have, you know, we've hit it off and love him and just, you know, talking Buffalo sports and just, you know, other stuff in general. He's become a good friend. And, you know, with what has happened, it's given us an opportunity. It's something we've kind of talked about over the last year or so, and it gives us a chance to come together and put out great content. And you know, as John said, we lived it, we've been there, we can bring perspectives that others can't. Joe also has great perspectives as well, and I think it's kind of like the, you know, it's kind of like Thanos, man. We bring all the stones together and we become this one powerful unit, and we're excited about it. What are these shows going to be called? I don't know. We have some great ideas, but you'll get content every day of the week, and it'll be awesome, and we're looking forward to it. And like Joe said, we're kind of out there with our rear ends in the wind, man. We're just kind of figuring it out.
So yeah, Mike.
Free agents, baby. Free agents.
Mike AAZ asks, or he said, or I guess he asks, you three every week. Yes. So just to kind of break that down, what we're looking at doing through the offseason for the remainder of the offseason is three shows a week, which will air live on YouTube Sunday, right, Tuesday, and then Thursday, and then drop consequently or consistently, I don't know, whatever that word would be. John, you're the wordsmith. Whatever that means, would then drop as a podcast on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, would be available on the Overreaction Buffalo podcast RSS feed, which you can find on every local or whatever platform you're consuming your podcasts on. The Sunday night show is going to be kind of be the overreaction show, which might be me, which might be me and John, which might be me and Jerry, which might be the three of us, which might be Jerry and John. The Tuesday night live YouTube show right now and probably for the foreseeable future is going to be a new program called On the Beat. And it's going to be an opportunity for one of us to bring on a Buffalo Bills beat reporter and effectively talk and ask questions to them about what's happening kind of in the beat world. This week is going to be the first one. We're going to have Matt Perino from New York State Up, who's going to be joining me this Tuesday night for On the Beat. And then Thursday night is going to be kind of like Jerry is going to kind of like coordinate what's going to happen on Thursday nights. And then when the season starts, when the training camp starts, we're going to go consistently 5 days a week. We're also going to be very, conscious about cutting down the amount of time that we're spending on the show. So right. Normally hour and 10 minutes, we're going to be cutting those down to 25 to 35 minutes to make them more consumable, more easy to digest. But that's kind of the snapshot. And we'll see where this goes, right?
And everybody, don't panic. You'll still get your favorite show and my favorite show, Off Tackle with John Fina. We will still have that show. I believe it'll be on Monday. So yes. We'll get our fix of what's going on with the Bills offensive line and everything up front with John and Joe. And that's a show that I really enjoy. And that's actually what got me into this crazy ass world of content creation. But no, we're looking forward to a Thursday show, probably a little bit different angle. We will talk Bills, but we'll add some other stuff as well. So we're going to try to bring you some things that maybe you haven't seen in a while or some new ideas.
Yeah, super, super excited. But with that, let's go ahead and get this show started. Obviously, outside of Buffalo Rumblings, and it wasn't Buffalo Rumblings that did it. It was Vox Media that just so everybody kind of knows what happened. Vox Media owns SB Nation. SB Nation owns Buffalo Rumblings. SB Nation, or I should say Vox Media, decided to effectively cancel every podcast network in every major sports market. So it wasn't just Rumblings. It wasn't us. Everybody got cut loose. And aside from that, the really, really, really big news that shocked probably everybody. The last podcast I did was Stephon Diggs. Should I stay or should I go? And it was stay, because there's no way the Bills are going to walk away from $31 million and not have your first, like your wide receiver one on the roster. Real quick. What, Jerry, you can go first. Like, what was your, when you saw that news come across, where had that, that's going to be a, I remember where I was moment. I remember where right. I was when Stephon Diggs got cut.
Personally, I didn't see it coming, mm-hmm. but I'm not shocked. I'm not shocked at all, because I was told a long time ago from a coach, and I'll never forget this. And the quote was simply this: your on the field production better be bigger than your off the field issues. Right. Mm. And over the last couple of years, Steph's off-the-field issues have shined over top of his production. His production has dropped year after year after year. His production last season, while pretty good in the first five games, continued to taper off to where he became invisible at the end of the season. We have the big playoff game. We need him. We have a drop touchdown pass, three catches, I think, on the game. Not very many catches. And if you look at what's going on in pro football right now, And hear me out. Let me make my point, because I know what you're all going to say when I make this point. You know, cap management is to an extreme right now. I think teams have learned from the past. If you hold on to yours too long, if you fall in love with your own players and you hold on to them at high amounts of salary with declining production over those last so many years, not due to them, you know, anything other than age, right? Mm-hmm. And when you look at this, you know, it was time to move on. They got a second round pick. And if you look at some of the other trades for high profile guys in the league, a second round pick was a big time compensation as far as picks go. Now you're going to tell me, okay, well, other than a quarterback, and we'll talk about that's Russell Wilson with the Broncos, Stephon Diggs has the largest single dead money cap hit in the history of the league. You're going to see that more and more. I think teams are willing to take that hit and get it over with, mm-hmm. to move people on. And I think what this says, and if you looked at some of the quotes by, or some of the tweets or quotes by some players, you looked at the tweet that was put out by Brooke Kromer. Yes, I know she's the daughter of the offensive line coach, but he is the offensive line coach in that building. I think people have grown sick and tired of the Stephon Diggs act, and it was time to move on. And the fact that Bean got a second round pick for him, even though you got that much dead money in 1 year, it was time to get it done. And that's just the way I look at it.
There was a wild flip emotionally when I saw the original trade details. We gave up Stephon Diggs, and it was a fifth and a sixth, or I can't remember exactly what it was. We got a second next year back. And I was like, what? Like, that's all we got? And then you find out literally the day later, less than 24 hours later, that the Texans voided his last 3 years, gave him a couple extra bucks in incentives. So it's basically a one-year deal. So they got Stephon Diggs on a one-year deal for a second next year. And I was like, oh, we actually did pretty well.
Did outstanding.
You know, Jerry, I love your take on it, right? Conceptually, I think it's where the league is going. You got to look at production versus consequences. But what I'm going to take it from a little bit different angle. All right. So everybody talks about where's the window? Is the window closing for Josh Allen and the Bills to win the Super Bowl? You pick up Diggs, you create a window, you put everybody in place, and you didn't get there. So now you got to shut that window and you got to retool and open the window up again. We're fortunate we have Josh Allen, because I think we have the ability to create a new window with new personalities and new skill sets. But make no mistake about it. When Bean and McDermott from the beginning have said, we want guys that fit the locker room as well as the field.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We want guys who mesh. So being what it was, Stephon behaving the way he was, which was certainly far worse than what we, the general public, saw, they realized now's the time. We cannot go against what we said we believe will get us to the Lombardi. So to me, you know what? If you want to be a culture team and you think that's important to get there, this was absolutely the right move. Drops aside, you know, you see a cancer, you cut it out. This is Western medicine, man.
Yeah, it was tough for me. I was on a business trip, QBR quarterly business report with the team that I'm on. And the news came, it was a Tuesday or Wednesday morning. And I was just like, it was Tuesday, right? And it sent me sideways for a good hour and a half. I was like, this just can't be real. Like, it was, yeah,
it was Wednesday, wasn't it? Didn't you, Spence, and I have dinner on Tuesday night?
It was Wednesday. Yeah, it was Wednesday morning. You're right. And then we got the news on Rumblings on Thursday morning. So it was like back to back days that were just like, what is Whiskey Tango Foxtrot? Like, what is happening?
Right. And I think it also alludes to the fact how when I was a kid, in Buffalo, the Bills Mafia is a little different, but there are things that are different. When I was a kid, you rode with a team. It was ride or die, right?
Yep, yep, yep.
And we have become much more player oriented as we moved along over these years. At 53, I noticed that with my kids. My kids have favorite teams. They love the Bills. You know, they like the Eagles, but it's like they still have guys. Like, I remember my son Jackson getting a Joe Thomas jersey. He hated the Browns, but he loved Joe Thomas.
That's awesome.
And, you know, we fall into this where we love these players. And yes, Diggs brought a lot to this franchise. And John made the point of talking about is, you know, the window's closing. I think moving Diggs on is their way of keeping this window open. They know that they can't have that kind of distraction. Yeah. They've got to remove it. And when you're attacking the guy on the franchise, that's unacceptable.
Yeah.
It can't happen. And you know, John and I have been on teams where there's been arguments. We were on a team with when our superstars, our guys that are in the Hall of Fame, that are on the Wall of Fame, strong-minded personalities. They might have had some differences, but in a couple days to 2 weeks, it was hashed out and it was over with. And it was all the focus was on the winning football game.
The problem is this one wasn't hashed out quickly. This one never really got, I don't think, hashed out.
Go right. Ahead. Well, I don't think Stephon Diggs would let it die. Right.
Right.
But you can continue to make yourself the subject matter or the victim with social media now. Right. So people, you can push back and say productivity went down, but the voice of the player still extends beyond the walls of the facility. Mm. And that just becomes an untenable problem.
Right.
Rip the Band-Aid off. And look, I'm going to take a curious little position here. Stephon Diggs wants to be wide receiver one, but he had some performance issues. But the team was winning. right? So now's the time to retool your own thinking and become part of a greater solution. There were some issues early on. We didn't really have wide receiver two. Khalil Shakir comes on. He should have embraced that. He should have really looked forward to, yes, okay, we're going to let Gabe Davis go. We got Khalil, we got me, we got Dalton Kincaid. Let's reform. But instead, that little selfish nature that we were concerned about from him coming from Minnesota had to pop up. And then it gets fed by his feeding it into social media, and you become self-convincing of your own argument, right, wrong, or indifferent. You try to become bigger than the locker room, bigger than the administration, bigger than the game itself. And that's not Josh. And that's not, I think, 99% of the other guys in that locker room.
I agree. The only place that I disagree is just there's an aspect, and you two could speak to this. And there's some stuff I want to get into that you guys know about. When you talk about your number one wide receiver, which Stephon Diggs is, period, end of story. Bills Mafia lived in this world of a 17-year drought, and like, oh, Duke Williams is Robert Foster could be a number one. And I've made this comment on my shows 1,000 times. And then Stephon Diggs shows up on the scene, and you're like, oh my God, that's what a number one wide receiver looks like, because it was just far and away different than everybody else that we had ever had in the last 17 years. It was freaking, I mean, as good as Stevie was, Stephon Diggs was better.
Right.
It's hard to eat $31 million and not have a guy, like not have a guy fill in that spot. And that's the moment where it's like, at what point do you just, I get the moving on. I get the take the hit now. I get the let's get ready, yada, yada, yada. And again, I've got some stuff I want to read real quick. It's just hard for me to get past the, was it that bad? Could it have been that bad that they're like $31 million? Who gives a shit?
Evidently. Evidently, it was.
Yeah, man.
Evidently, it was that.
30, you're in cap. You're in cap jail. $1 million. Wow.
I would have loved to have been on the third floor behind the door listening to what was going on. And Bill Polian screaming.
Right.
I would love that.
Right. And I will, before you go reading your stuff, Joe, I'm going to say this. I think that Brady proved this year that he is a guy that likes to use players in multiple positions, right? Mm-hmm. So while I still think the Bills need another wideout, do they use a second round pick and maybe some of their other acquired picks and move up to get a receiver in the first round they want? Time will tell. It's only a couple weeks away, right? But when you look at a signing like Curtis Samuel, a guy that is incredibly, you can use him all over the place. Yep, he's incredibly versatile.
Yep.
I think Curtis Samuel fits Brady's offense probably more than Stephon Diggs does. Am I saying that Samuel is a more ballistic or over? I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is fit. And I don't think anybody wants to hear this, but fit is a huge part of the personnel game. And I think that's what you're looking at also. Variety of players and a variety of roles. And a guy like Samuel, I think, is going to do really well in this offense.
Yeah, I agree. Go ahead, John.
So dovetailing on what Jerry's saying, right? Now, so now look at what Brady wants to do with multiple sets and running completely different route trees with people who have multiple skill sets doing things that, defenses don't expect.
Right.
So I think that the league is evolving. Nobody does it better than the Kansas City Chiefs with multiple players doing multiple things. And I think that is the direction the league is going. I will caution this, though, to McDermott and that staff, and I've maintained this since day one, let these guys get in sooner. Mm. We waited too long for Cook. We waited too long for Khalil Shakir. I was talking to a scout yesterday at the Arizona Wildcats practice, and he's a Kansas City scout, and he's got connections to Boise State. And we started going down the road. Actually, sorry, it's the personnel director at Arizona who was at Boise State. And I said, when the Bills drafted Khalil Shakir, I was overjoyed. Mm-hmm. When they took too long to use him, I was like, what are you doing? Because out in the West, that guy, I was like, this is going to be great. Right. So if you don't trade up, you got Curtis Samuel, you got Khalil Shakir, two good tight ends, whomever you draft, second, third, fourth, second, fourth, you got to get these guys going. We cannot wait. put them into the crucible and see what happens.
100%. And that is something that the Bills have not done well. I think we all would agree with that. Let me get to what we know and what is speculated. And I would ask you guys to jump in where you want. And we're getting a little bit long, kind of in the tooth as far as the show goes, under the new guidelines that we have here at the Overreactions Buffalo Sports Network. But what we know. So, right? So you guys ready? And this is around the Stephon Diggs thing. Unrelenting smoke has surrounded Stephon Diggs for the last two off seasons after acting out in the loss to the Bengals in the 2022 playoffs, which we all know, like the scene. Hands in the air, right? Joe Brady, head down. Josh looks up, puts his head back down. I can confirm that the 2022 offseason between Josh and Steph was not good. I know for a fact that the two of them did not communicate. Two guys that were best friends prior to that, it was not a good situation. So we know that there's been smoke, and the smoke has not died. To the point that Jamar Chase is, it's like week 10, and the media is asking Jamar Chase about his contract situation, and he says, I'm taking all the money. And they're like, well, what about T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd? He goes, if they can find money, fine, but I'm getting all the money. I don't care about them, which never even like went anywhere. But the Stephon Diggs, the smoke just kept like continued to billow and just continued to billow. So we know that there's been unrelenting smoke. Diggs started the season last year strong, and then his production fell off sharply despite getting his share of targets, despite not being removed from the offense. Josh Norman came out and literally said, hey, I just want everybody to know that Steph is taking Steph out. This isn't a situation where he's not in the plays. He's not in the formations. He's taking himself out. He also dropped a lot of balls. Diggs requested the trade and was granted. I have it on first count information as well, first hand information as well, that Diggs basically did not want to play in Buffalo with McDermott and Allen. It wasn't a Buffalo thing. It wasn't a Bills Mafia thing. It wasn't the market wasn't big enough. It wasn't a situation of he didn't like it here. He didn't have a club to go to at 2 a.m. It was none of that. It was basically personality conflict type stuff. Josh Allen also was reportedly told the trade was not off the table. This was from Brandon Bean, but we suspect that he was surprised when the news broke that Stephon had been traded, as Bean said he did not tell Josh before it happened. So when we found out, Josh found out. So of the stuff we know, anything that you guys want to add, comment, take away, subtract, add to, whatever.
John. Well, I'll tell you this. I mean, I'm glad Josh didn't know, right? If that comes out, then it looks like Josh is running the team. He's running right. The roster. Right. You know, he's picking guys. And then the remaining guys are like, well, I'm not getting the ball. Am I the new Diggs or this and that? And I think that this gives Josh the ability to stay separated from it and keep his team together and welcome the guys who are coming in. So I have no issue with that. Now, as far as smoke goes, I mean, we knew that he had a propensity for that coming from the Vikings. We had managed it. But again, it got to an untenable level. And like Jerry was saying earlier, you know, a lot of teams, and you too, Joe, what are you going to do when you got Jamar Chase saying, I'm going to take all the money, and then Cincinnati ends up in a situation like the Bills are 3 or 4 years from now, minus collusion by the owners, you know, where does the cycle end? So I'm just glad we're kind of getting to the point where we can push it off our books.
It sounds like
maybe the Buffalo Bills, become one of those first teams to figure out a better way to manage it by spreading the ball around, by keeping more of a continuity among all the players and keeping personalities, you know, directed at the overall success.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing that I look at too is, and we want to get on this wide receiver group, and we talk about how we need more talent there, and we do need another big time player. But If there's pressure in the locker room and there's pressure between Diggs and Josh or whatever, think about the pressure that in the wide receiver room, with him in the wide receiver room and the comments that were probably made while watching film, or the guys in the room not wanting to speak up or get on the bad side and all those different things. And you got a guy that's an old vet, that's one of the best receivers in the league. He's supposed to be a mentor. And how's he handling that room when he's in there? So you got to look at that as well. And I think that room will have a levity to it this season that it has not had in the past couple of years. I think that it'll be much different. I think it'll be much more fun for those guys. I think that they'll be able to develop and not, I don't want to use the word guilty, but there's definitely a sense when you have a malcontent in a room like that every day, it seeps into others just because it's inevitable.
Yeah.
So
you want to fix it? You want to fix it? You take the wide receivers and you let them play offensive line or defensive interior for a couple of weeks.
And you sit
them down in our room and you see how we go to work and we talk about working together right. And playing next to a guy.
And by the way, I said that today, John, and I'm sorry to cut you off. Go ahead. Finish your comment.
No, go ahead. Not at all. Go.
I was just saying, I said that today. I was on with Zig on NFL Sirius XM. And I said, right now, my biggest question mark is not the wide receiver room on the offensive side of the ball for the Buffalo Bills. My biggest question mark is, can a guy that played 12 games at center in college and 2 games at center for the Cowboys take over for Mitch Morris? And can we fill the void at left guard, which I think we might have did by signing Lyle Collins. He's older, he's up there, so we slide him in at left guard. But my biggest concern, because you win games up front, okay? And
I'm calling BS on that, Jerry O.
I really am. I mean, I really do.
Like, how can you even say that? Do you not have a mirror in that room? You're a guy that played guard, tackle, guard, tackle, guard, tackle,
it.
And all of a sudden you're playing center. And I never worried, like, oh, shit, we put Jerry Owen at center. You're just creating smoke. He's creating concert. Our first damn show, the inaugural show at Jerry O's,
I can't bring up what I really want to talk about is why the hell do we have all this national hate for Caitlin Clark? But seriously, I mean, I'm more worried about the continuity up front than I am worried about them finding receivers. They're going to draft somebody. They're going to find another free agent. There's going to be more movement. We won last year with what we had. I'm not stressed about it. Let's talk about safety. I'm a little bit stressed about that, but you know,
wouldn't you agree that Cromer and the technique training and the quality of what we saw on the field over the past 2 years has really improved?
Yes.
And the offensive line play is smarter.
Yes.
You know, it's more directed. Yes. So I don't share those concerns as much as you do.
All right, I got to keep us on track because we're running out of time. So what is speculated around the Stephon Diggs thing? And again, jump in if you feel like you need to, and then I've got a pointed question if I get through these. Stephon Diggs believed in his heart that the Bills could not beat the Chiefs, which is part of the reason that he wanted to leave. And this is all reports that have been coming out. Stephon Diggs is a diva, and his relationship deteriorated with McDermott and Allen to the point that he wanted out so bad it affected his play in the field. And we've kind of addressed some of this, that if the Bills are walking away from 31, not only were they walking away from 20, or, sorry, they were taking on $29 million from a cap standpoint, keeping Diggs. They added three to it to get to $31 million to say, well, $2 million more. 29, 30, 31, yeah, right, to say see you later, effectively. So there's probably some truth to that one. The Bills discovered they could win without Stephon Diggs and felt confident moving on from him. That was a take from, I believe, ESPN Get Up, which the Bills, I mean, it's hard to argue against that one. They actually started to have some success as Stephon Diggs kind of like came out of the offense a little bit last year, kind of going to Shakir, going to Kincaid, right, utilizing James Cook. I don't like it. I don't want to believe it, but the fact is it was there. So again, what is speculated? Stephon Diggs is a competitive freak. This is the part for me. There's always two sides to every story. There's always two sides to every story. Stephon Diggs is a competitive freak who was upset that Josh Allen was no longer doing the extra things that he felt they needed to do to win. Here's the thing. When Steph showed up, they were immediate. You can laugh. They were immediately, Steph was literally a coach for Josh Allen. A lot of the jump that we saw in 2020 from Josh Allen, people are not afraid to attribute that to Stephon Diggs and basically breaking down plays. If they ran the route wrong, if Josh threw the ball to the wrong place, they would stop, literally stop the whole offense. And Steph would come over to Josh and be like, this is what I need. This is where I'll be. Yada, what do you need from me? Yada, yada. And Josh, over the last two off seasons, has been a little bit more distracted, whereas Steph is more, right? I mean, we've already seen a picture of him in Houston with his guys, CJ Stroud and all those dudes down there getting together to have practice. Go ahead, Jerry.
John will tell you this. There's a no prouder moment than when you have young men, young kids, and you teach your sons the game of football and you watch them play as youth. And then they get to high school and you coach them and they move on. And all of a sudden they go to college. you sitting back and having that proud moment of watching your kid on television or from the stands go out there and perform. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Our kids don't need our validation 24/7. They don't need us to come on the field and tell them what to do all the time. Right. There comes a point in time when a kid matures and moves on. And that's the way I look at it with Josh Allen. When Diggs came into this, Josh was still young. Mm-hmm. Diggs told him everything. And then Josh progressed.
Diggs had 3 extra years on Josh.
Right. But and mentored him. And Josh became the player that he is now to mm-hmm. where he demanded the contract. He demanded the rankings. I said it today. There's no more of a polarizing player in the NFL than Josh Allen. You either love him and think he's amazing and just under Mahomes, or you don't.
Right.
If Steph needed to continually be coddled for mentoring Josh, then that's on him.
Right.
Because the maturation of a player and watching him progress and be successful, it should be joy enough that you took part in that. And that's just my comment about that. I think that's absolutely silly.
Well, Jerry, I appreciate your comments. Those are going to be hard to top, but I'm going to tap on the first one. Stephon Diggs didn't believe we could beat Kansas City. You know, he didn't believe, and that made it hard for him to perform on the field. Does that include the 3 or 4 games previous where, you know, he performed unspectacularly? I mean, and wouldn't that really compel me as a competitor to get more opener, to catch more balls? I mean, please, you know, that's deflection as good as it gets. I'm sorry. You know, for me, I'm thinking this is a guy who's focused inward and not focused on staying focused on what can I do?
Yeah.
I'm not a good riddance guy. I harbor nothing ill against against Diggs. I just wonder how he's going to be when he's either number 2, 2.5, or 3 down in Houston. You know, check your ego, son, and see how the hell that fleshes out.
Right, and I'm a big analogy guy. So my last comment on that is this: is that, you know, me being fat. Okay. I like to blame my family and my genetics for being fat, but really it's the guy that shoves like all the food in his mouth is the reason he's fat.
I
swallow a lot of food and a lot of aggression, right?
Listen, son, you're not fat anymore, Jerry. You're slimming up. I'm a huge fan.
If your production is dropping at a rapid rate, and over the last 8 games last year, Diggs was the best hitch runner in the league because that was his best route.
Right.
It's not Josh's fault. It's probably your fault.
Right, for sure.
We're
going to wrap it up. We're going to wrap it up with this last what is speculated, and not necessarily speculated. Tim Graham reported it. Tim Graham, Buffalo Bills beat reporter, writes for The Athletic. Josh Allen reportedly gave Stephon Diggs the hand last year after the week one loss to the Jets, and basically just said, like, Diggs came to him, and Josh was like, it's one effing game. I'm not talking to you. So that was after week one. So I want to wrap this show up with – just some commentary from the two of you. And as much as we're a little bit long, I don't necessarily care about that as much as I do how you feel about having been in the huddle with Andre Reed, who stood there and looked at Jim Kelly and said, I'm open. In games when you were winning, I'm open. In games when you were losing, I'm open. Eric Moulds, you've both sat in the huddle with Eric Moulds. You've been in the locker room with Eric Moulds pregame, postgame, practices. What do you do as an offensive lineman, as a player, when you've got a guy, and I guess there's an aspect of like, where does the cancer come in? Where is it too much, right? Where is it like, all right, now it's over the top. There's a difference between wanting to win, Andre, and wanting to be the man, Randy Moss, right? Does that make sense? Or Terrell Owens. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, look, Jerry and I, neither of us were in the locker room, but I could tell you that with Eric and with Andre, I never felt like it rose to that level. And you also had, you had to have a certain amount of respect for a guy who did want the ball. Mm-hmm. Now in the moment when it happened, it was not ever unexpected, but did it carry on through the locker room? Was it pouting every day? Was it, you know, snide remarks here and there? No, it checked itself and it usually worked out pretty well. So to me, it never got to that point. As an offensive lineman, you're always like, hey, screw those guys. I mean, we never get the ball. You know, we know our value. We know what we're supposed
to do. Video surfaced this week of you catching a touchdown pass. I just
want to remind And there was one of Jerry diving on one. You know, one in 11 years. Crushed it.
I look at it this way. Because we were in the locker room with Jim, who was a strong personality. It's like raising your kids, right? They're gonna do what you allow them to do. Mm-hmm. And you know, if there was any of that, well, usually when Andre said he was open, then Jim looked at us and said, "I need like 5 more seconds, guys." That was usually how it went. But but really, you know, it. This is where I said earlier this year when on a couple occasions, this ends when Josh takes control of it and he ends it. Mm. And if somebody was upset, Jim ended it or Thurman ended it or whatever. And it was done. Like I said, it was one day, 2 days, 2 weeks, it was over. This is one spot that I think he lacks a little bit. Can't be friends with everybody. I want him to be more of that dude.
Agree.
A dog. That's fair, Jerry. That's fair, but I'll give you this too as a counterpoint to that. Josh doesn't air things out in social media. So he could have been working that. I'm just saying, he could have been working that in the locker room. He could have been working that with McDermott, Bean, Morse, Dawkins, you know, and to no avail. So rip the Band-Aid off. And I hear what you're saying. I grant you made a good point.
I will say this, Joe. John being full Italian and me being half Italian, you get that hand from your mother, that's powerful. Mm. That's the hand is powerful. Don't ever underestimate the I've had enough.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been tuned into the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Show on the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Network, which is interesting just because this is the first time that I'm actually kind of saying that with some other people besides myself. I've done some shows by myself, but this has been fun. This has been great. And people are already in the comments saying it can't end like now, like it has to go longer. But we're trying to make YouTube happy, which I know is really, really strange, but there's a lot of things about SEO and metrics and blah, blah, blah. But I'm really, really excited to kind of start this journey with you guys. I know you guys are as well. I think for a first show, this was about as good as it could possibly be. There's a lot of meat on this bone. I think you guys could probably carry this into Thursday. There's probably more to talk about in this regard. You guys could probably bring a lot to it. Just a reminder to everybody, Tuesday, live on YouTube, I'll have Matt Perino on for Buffalo Rumbling. See there? It's just in the brain. For Overreaction on the Beat. Gentlemen, any final words before I get us out of here?
John, go ahead.
Hey, Joe, Jerry, I'm excited to go on this adventure with you. I mean, it's a lot of fun. We got a great thing going already. Everybody in the comments, everybody who downloads, do us a favor. You know, you like it, tell a friend. Love to build up our brand and, you know, just continue to show our excitement for the team that we all love.
Exactly. If you got somebody out there, spread the word, tell them about it. We'll be on Overreaction Buffalo. This is where we'll be all season, our new home. We're excited. I get to work with two really good guys, two guys, one I've known for a long time, one I've become friends with, but good friends. I'm excited about it. You're going to get good, honest content. No fluff, no BS. What we see is what you'll get, and we're excited to give it to you. So hopefully we'll build this thing up, and we'll see you. We'll see you again all real soon.
Yeah, thanks for letting me be a part, ladies and gentlemen. You've been tuned into the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Show on the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Network. For me, for Jerry, for John, go Bills!
Go Bills!
Go Bills!